Good evening, music fans. Here we are at Philharmonic Hall in New York Mills, Minnesota. It's a beautiful night for a concert. There's not a cloud in the ceiling. And there's quite a crowd out here. About how many do you think there are, Bob?
Oh, I don't know, Pete.
Well, neither do I, but it's quite a crowd. And I think they're looking forward to hearing the New York Mills Philharmonic playing against the Danish conductor, Heilige Dankesang. And here he comes now, ascending the podium. And the players are all lined up and ready to begin the first inning of Beethoven's Symphony No. 5 in C minor. And they're off with a four-note theme. This is very exciting. The beginning of a symphony is always very exciting, folks. I don't know whether it's slow or fast yet because it keeps stopping. It doesn't seem to be able to get off the ground yet. And it looks like, yes, it looks like we're coming up to a cadence here, folks. The violins didn't cut off there. A little trouble with the violins. They weren't watching. And there's that four-note theme again, folks. And another stop. Just can't seem to get this piece off the ground. Now it seems to be rolling a little bit. Seems to be building up. Tell me, Bob, do you think you'd call that four-note idea a theme or a motif?
Well, Pete, the technical term would be motif, which he uses to build a theme.
I see. Thanks for setting me straight about that, Bob. Well, we're heading into the second theme section here, and we can expect a little modulation down there. Wow, did you hear that, Bob? Somebody down there in the horn section really flubbed that note. That was one of the worst fumbles I think I've ever witnessed in all my days. I think it was number one, wasn't it, Bob?
Yes, it was, Pete. That was Bobby Cornhill in the first chair, and that's the third major flub he's made this season, giving him a solo average for the season of approximately .247355, which is pretty darn low for a first chair man.
You think there's some chance he might be sold to another orchestra?
Oh, it's hard to say, Pete. Cornhill's very good in the long solos, things like the Rachmaninoff Mannequin Concerto. So I think if he pulls himself together a bit, they'll probably keep him around, although I suppose he might...
Well, I think it's development time down there now, Bob. Let's see what's going to happen. The horns are starting it off. They seem to be in pretty good shape now, and I get the feeling that we're probably going to be hearing a lot of that four-note motif, don't you, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
So do I, Bob. Well, they obviously are stuck with that four-note motif, and they're going to be fooling around with it for quite a while. You notice it's pretty hot in here, Bob?
Yes, I do, Pete.
Yeah, I think the air conditioning has gone off, which is one of the things... Wait a minute. Wait a minute. There's something going on down there on the stage, folks. There's something happening down there. It's really building up tension. The crowd is getting very excited. The brasses have come in, and the timpani, and everybody, and it's extremely exciting. I think we're building up to a fugue. No, the basses are not picking up the beat, folks. It is not a fugue. The violins tried to make it one, but the basses are not following up. No, instead of a fugue, folks, he seems to be taking the theme and breaking it up into little pieces. Just two notes left of that theme now being thrown around from player to player. And it's getting softer and softer down there, folks. I think they're losing steam. They seem to be running out of steam. And it's just getting a little bit lethargic down there, if you want to know the truth. It's gotten down to one note now. And things are... Wait a minute! The brasses have come in and tried to pep things up. A welcome relief. But I'm afraid to no avail. Things are still pretty somberish. Wait a minute. They hear they come again. They're really determined. It sounds very familiar. And I think we've reached the recap, Bob, don't you?
There's no doubt about it, Keith. Your average Beethoven symphony usually has a recap right after the second quarter, and this one is falling right into line.
Well, let's see if those violins can cut off with the rest of the orchestra and the cadence is coming up. Wait a minute. This time it's the oboe holding the note too long. Wait, he's playing a cadenza. He must be out of his mind. He thinks it's an oboe concerto. The conductor's standing down there. He doesn't know what to do. Have you ever heard anything like that, Bob?
I certainly haven't, Pete. I think it was a disgraceful display of lack of teamsmanship. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Highwood's name wasn't on the roster next season, although I must say that the fans really seem to go for these outbursts of temperament.
Well, I always say, Bob, professional music teams wouldn't exist without the spectators. Anyway, we're into the home stretch here with the second theme coming up, and we should be in C minor right up to the double bar. Wait a minute. That's really something, Bob. The piece's build is being in C minor, and yet it looks like it's going to end in C major.
It's really something, Pete.
Well, I think it's something that the Composers Commission ought to look into, and I suspect that they will as soon as this gets out. But it looks like it's going to be an ending anyway. Things are building up a little there. The violins have really gotten a hold of things. They're really beginning to roll. And now he's adding all the woodwinds there. He's thrown in all his brass and the timpani. And it's tuning all the way, folks. He's got a great piece on his hands here. And he looks like he's really coming into the home stretch. Well, I guess that about wraps it up, eh, Bob?
Yeah, Pete, it's been a good piece.
I think he can really have something to be proud of himself here. Wait a minute! The brass are taking the theme! They're not letting it stop! They're taking the theme and running ahead! Bob, this piece is definitely going to go into overtime. I can see that. The crowd is going wild. They're standing up on their feet. They're jumping. They're stomping. They're yelling. And theme is. Everybody is running around, and believe me, it's very exciting. This is the kind of thing that only happens once in 10 years, folks. They've got a new theme going on down there. I can't believe it. Bob, do you know where this new theme comes from?
Well, Pete, it probably comes from, No, I don't, Pete.
Well, they're tossing it around now. The woodwinds have it, and then the strings have it. Nobody seems to be able to keep his hands on that theme. It's getting tossed around from player to player, from section to section. And believe me, folks, the audience is just as confused as the players is about who is going to have that theme finally. Wait a minute. The strings have got a hold of it. The strings have got a hold of that theme, and they are not going to let go. What's this? I can't believe my ears. It sounds as if it's another recap. It sounds as if he's going right back to the beginning. If this is true, it's the first time it's happened in 10 years of concert casting. Wait a minute. Those sound like final chords, though. This may be... That may be it, folks. I'm looking down at the referee. Yes, yes, that is it. That is the end of the piece. The players are taking off their helmets, and the conductor has turned around and is acknowledging the cheers of the crowd. Well, it was quite a symphony, wasn't it, Bob?
It was quite a symphony, Pete, and I think the fans feel that they got their money's worth.
So do I, Bob. And I don't think there's any doubt about who won this contest, either. As a matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the critics slap a stiff penalty on some of the players, particularly Bobby Corno.
Neither would I, Pete, and of course, this was a very important victory for Haile Gadankazan, since it puts him right up there at the top of the conductor's league.
That's right, Bob. That means that he'll be up against the Fargo-Moorhead Symphony in the World 12-Tone Series next month. And let's see, they not only lead the orchestral league, but I think they're unbeaten this season, aren't they, Bob?
You said it, Pete, and if Nakazan can win 4 concerts off them, he'll be the first conductor to earn the pennant since Toscanini.
Well, that's quite a challenge, Bob. Now I think I'd better be heading down to the locker rooms to have a chat with Nakazan himself.
Well, Pete, I think he was supposed to be doing a baton commercial after the concert, but why didn't you give it a try?
I'll do that, Bob. So for now, this is Pete Shickley.
And, Bob Dennis.
Signing off for the wonderful wide world of notes.
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. Welcome to another, yes, another edition of the Bit Slap here with me, your host, KBC. This week, we're going to reach back into the annals of time and examine some classical favorites of ours here. We started off, for example, with Beethoven's Fifth Concert Cast, an offering from P.D.Q. Bach. P.D.Q. Bach, of course, is Peter Schickele, who is professor at the Extension Division of the Musicology and Musical Pathology Department of the University of Southern North Dakota at Hoople. Okay, Hoople is a real town. However, it is in the northeast corner of North Dakota, and there is no Southern North Dakota University there. Okay, P.D.Q. Bach is the youngest and the oddest of Johann Sebastian Bach's 20-odd children. And unfortunately, the Schickele Mix program is no longer on NPR thanks to this bad economy and budget cuts and things like that. But P.D.Q. still does, or Schickele, I should say, still does shows around concerts, etc., as both a serious musician and a nutcase. After that, we heard from the Cleveland Orchestra, everybody's favorite, and that was Symphony No. 7 in A, Opus 92 from Ludwig von. And what a violent piece of music that is, eh? That really got my blood going. Hope it got yours going, too. And you know what? I first became aware of that piece of music thanks to, drumroll, the Firesign Theater. You'll find it there in the Ralph Spoilsports section of the second album, right at the beginning of the second album. So go ahead and look for it in your collection of Firesign Theater records. Meantime, we have some old classics here for you, some new classics, and some classics that shouldn't be here. I want to warn you that in this next set, there will be some pain. You'll get over it, and you'll be stronger for it. That which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So hang in there and stay with it.
Hiya, Ludwig. You say your son, the genius, gave his first recital 2 hours of scales. And cousin Jasper, the method tenor, got all caught up laughing and crying in Pagliacci and had to be sedated on stage. And cheap Uncle Ignatz, the violinist, left his Stradivarius in back of a taxi. And when the driver asked for a reward, he said, "Keep it." And Renata Scotto met with a nasty accident during a pivotal aria in Aida. An elephant stepped on her. And you hear Wagner was 4'8"? No wonder he was angry. And New Directions, the opera company near Aspen, scheduled Gounod's Faust with lyrics and music by Andrew Lloyd Webber. Does all this seem to take the oomph out of oomph, Papa, Johann?
Well, coax those woodwinds and milk the fiddles, or you'll be back leading that Salvation Army band in Rimini. You say you got degrees from Oberlin and Juilliard. You're playing Yankee Doodle on a comb outside Carnegie Hall. Those are the breaks. New releases that may never surface. Gershwin plays Oscar Levant. Steve Allen tries Beethoven. And remember what Brahms said, if a pretzel didn't have a twist, they'd call it a pretz. Hey there, Wolfgang. You say Placido Domingo got the flu with a sold-out house in Burbank, and he was lip-synced by Jerry Vale? And you're dancing Swan Lake in Central Park near the boat pond? Take a leap and have to be rescued by 3 water nymphs. And Marilyn Horne couldn't locate the knife in Tosca, so instead of stabbing Scarpa, she sang him to death. And Schulte told Nadja Salerno Sollenberg to stop making faces, and she broke his legs. And Schwarzkopf and Pavarotti did an evening of Gilbert and Sullivan, and nobody understood a word. And you swear you saw Isaac Stern playing his fiddle on the E train. And in Peter Sellar's new version of Carmen, she marries the bull. does all this seem to further diminish your already diminished fifths, Frunzel? Well, turn around and face the music. Forget the judge and the mohawk and sneakers. Did you know Rachmaninoff couldn't work for a couple of years? He was mesmerized by his metronome. Did you know Meyerbeer made great schnitzel? Little-known facts about legendary figures, new releases that may never surface. Barbara Streisand sings Christoph Penderecki. Alban Berg's variations on Cuba plays the tuba down in Cuba. And remember, practice, practice, practice. You'll be practicing for the rest of your goddamn life. Hiya, prodigy, grown up normal. You say Oberammergau decided to broaden its appeal? Next season they're running a double feature, Tristan and Isolde and the Fantastics. And you came in second in the Van Cliburn contest, and you got an offer from Steinway to play in their window on 57th Street. And you did your sonata for kazoo and triangle with the Boston Pops. And John Williams had to make a public apology. And they played a trick on Yo-Yo Ma. In the middle of the Elgar, Midori jumped out of his cello. And among your credits, you listed studied fanfares with Aaron Copland. And they want to do a sequel to the three tenors, three baritones, but they can only find two. So they have to use Anna Russell. Is that why Mozart's Requiem is at the top of your hit parade, Yasha? Well, lift your head up high and throw away the score and stop combing your hair. This is the big time. Did you know Papa Haydn's real name was Pops? Did you know Dudley Moore met with a mishap while accompanying Jesse Norman? She fell on him. Videos that may have a chance. Herbert von Karajan conducts Götterdämmerung with a whip. And remember, if you have to sing for your supper, stay away from Schoenberg. You say your son, the composer, does TV background music, and when you say hello, he goes dum-di-dum-dum. And you gave a concert where the piano hadn't been tuned in years, and you got raves? Go figure. What about Humperdinck?
Yeah. labra, sole labra, sole labra. One sweet kiss, love, one sweet kiss, love, on thy lips, thy fain would press. Fain would tell thee, couldst thou hear me? Oh, fain would tell thee all the sweet of love divine. Fondly, oh, how fondly, what thou near me, what thou near me, I would kiss thee, I would kiss thee. My fain would press. Joy, oh, sweet joy. La 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 la. My heart at thy sweet voice. La 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 la. Hearken, hearken, hearken to the beat of my heart. Hearken, won't you hearken to the beat of my throbbing heart, my bumping, throbbing, sobbing heart.
Oh,
All right, first let me apologize for that Maria Callas thing, all right? I'll explain it in a second. Started with Eddie Lawrence, the long-haired philosopher. Another one in his seemingly endless series of old philosopher routines. Eddie was born as Lawrence Eisler in Brooklyn in 1919. He's done stand-up, impressions, cartoons, albums, TV shows, movies, you name it. And this, I believe, is from his so far latest album from 1994 called The Jazzy Philosopher on Red Dragon Records, which I found at the WFMU Record Fair, and you can too. Following that, the Temple City Kazoo Orchestra called Kazooed on Classics, more than one there. This one was on the Rhino Worst Records collection. I forget whether it was Volume 1 or Volume 2, but certainly plenty of room on there for this one. They did have two albums out, one called Some Kazoos and one called Plateful of Kazoos, and included such immoral pieces of art as Whole Lot of Love, Staying Alive, and Thus Spake Zarathustra. After that, from Tuba Blues, The Stumble of the Fumblebee. That's right, The Flight of the Bumblebee, played on a tuba. They're from Dayton, Ohio, back around 1990, from a cassette called Viper's Drag, where the tuba replaced the bass. And we're all happier for it. Following that, the Guggenheim Sauerkraut Band, Il Baccio. I'm sorry, I had that record around here somewhere, but I just cannot find it. I can't tell you anything about those guys. That'll give them not much longer to run and hide. After that, Leona Anderson, Il Baccio, same thing. From Leona Anderson, this time from an album called Music to Suffer By on Horrible Records, recorded in the Holland Tunnel, which also includes her great hits Fish and Rats in My Room. And then we went back to the Guggenheim Sauerkraut Band, which makes me doubly sorry I can't find it for you, and that was the Raymond Overture. And then Swan Lake from the Portsmouth Sinfonia, which was a real honest-to-God orchestra, and it was started by students at the Portsmouth School of Art in Portsmouth, England, in 1970. In order to join the orchestra, you had to prove that you could not play music and you were not a musician. And there's a bunch of records out there that exist, and as far as anybody knows, they were last performed publicly in 1979 when they were dragged from their buses. They do have a website, PortsmouthSymphonia.com, and that's Portsmouth, just like you think, like in New Hampshire. Symphonia is S-I-N-F-O-N-I-A, and it's good stuff. Check it out. Actually, it's not good stuff. I'm not going to lie to you. And then we heard from Maria Callas. That was a Christian Markley remix. Christian Markley was a remix artist before remixing was cool, before the digital age. He would slice up tapes. He's been known to cut records up, as in you would cut up a pizza, things like that. And I'm really sorry about the volume, but it just goes to show you the power. The power. That's all I can tell you. You know, you've seen it firsthand. And hopefully some of you will recover someday. Like I said before, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And then another piece from PDQ Bach, that was the OK Corral. All right, that brings us up to date. And I got to admit one thing. No collection of classical crapola would be complete without a visit from Spike Jones. So we got a couple of things from Spike Jones and then a few more little odds and ends. And then I'll come back to apologize for them. Please enjoy. If you don't enjoy, let me know. kbzradio@hotmail.com. And if you do like it, let me know. Tell your children.
But how much does high fidelity really increase our enjoyment of a musical arrangement? Listen and judge for yourself. First, here's an old recording of a Strauss classic. You'll notice that the range of tones is somewhat limited by the recording facilities available at the time. And even though this record was made by the great 200-piece Paris Symphony Orchestra, you still experience a feeling that something is missing. Rather empty, wasn't it? But now listen to the new way of recording as High Fidelity takes us right inside a recording studio. Sit back, close your eyes, and you are there as the orchestra plays the same selection, the beautiful black and blue Danube Waltz. Thank you. When you want a melody you can whistle, we really have to go back to the old masters, don't we?
Was in the city, we was a-wondering where to go. A sign spelled out Pagliacci up in lights above a show. We thought it would be a western till the stage lit up with light. And 97 people sung without a horse in sight. We couldn't understand them cause they spoke a foreign tongue. But we can give you some idea of what we think they sung.
Pretty Pagliacci.
All at once, there's a fat guy in a clown suit. Tain't Halloween, that's for sure. Then this here feller, this punchy Neller, begins to beller like we all was deep. That was Pagliacci, and he sung. Invest in a tuba and something or other about Cuba. He sung about a lady who weighed 280. When she takes a powder, he just starts chirping louder. And he don't do a galdern thing except to stand up there and sing. When we listen to Pagliacci, we get itchy and scratchy. This sure is top corn, so we go and buy some popcorn. We hate to go back, but we can't get our dough back. Ain't no use complaining, cause outside it's a-raining. Later, we're still in the darn theater, taking turns a napping, waiting for something to happen. Pagliacci, he ain't hurrying, but the folks on stage are flurrying, and it sounds like Ketchy Turian's neighbor dance. Then old Pagliacci finds a guy he's seeking, cheek to cheek, and with his wife he grabs a knife and stabs a louse who stole his spouse, and then he stabs a lady and himself. Tain't very sanitary. They all collapse, but old Pagliacci sets up, then he gets up, sings, I'm dying, I am dying, I am dying. We start crying, cause to tell the truth, we're dying too. As the footlights fade out, we see Pagliacci laid out, but the dagger never caused it. Pagliacci was plumb exhausted.
Pretty Pagliacci, so tuono rain.
Oh, Dennis, no! love is mine, thine heart with mine entwine, love, my soul for thee doth pine. Thine eye doth shine, thine life with mine combine, love, thou art my valentine. Lips like apple wine, face like calcimine, oh fine, my clinging vine, my voice for thee doth whine, you're older than auld lang syne.
Twinkle, little star, how you wonder who I am. Way up in the sky so low, you're a better man than I am. Old Black Joe. The polar bear sleeps in his little bear skin. He sleeps very well, I am told. Last night I slept in my little bear skin, and I got a heck of a cold.
Bill!
A rinse all white!
Bill!
A rinse all white!
Peace porridge hot, peace porridge cold, peace porridge in the pot 9 days old. P.U. The boys were hooping it up.
Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha wretched cause. I've never seen such garbage before. What did I do to deserve such rotten? Hey, wait a minute. I don't believe it. I've got two aces in the hole. And they don't know this pot is destined to be mine. I'm a Pokerachi. This pot is destined to be mine. I'll play it cagey, not bet too heavy. Should I let on like kids in school, they'll drop out. Now let's see. Frida has a queen high, Bella has a low pair, Rose has a possible, and I just made three aces. Rose bets, Bella raises, and I raise again. Here comes the moment I've been waiting.
The sun sinks slowly in the west. We bid farewell. As I said before, no collection of classical crapola is complete without a visit from Spike Jones. And we heard from Spike and the City Slickers with the Black and Blue Danube waltz, as opposed to the Black and Blue Danube hip-hop. It was written originally for coffee grinder and lawnmower. They don't tell you that in school. That's why I'm here. After that, Pagliacci, which featured a very young and impressionable Homer and Jethro, followed by Hachicornia, subtitled Black Eyes, and then Liebestrom. And then we had another visit from Leona Anderson and the Habanera from Carmen, and Pokerachi from Christine Nelson. Christine was the woman who sang with Alan Sherman in one of his biggest hits, Sarah Jackman. That was Christine Nelson, not the Christine who played Spike in Degrassi, whatever that is. That's what I kept finding when I looked up her. Couldn't find her, but there she was. Degrassi, whatever that is. All right, I'm out of here. I'll see you next week. We have one more mystery tune for you, which is not a big mystery. You've heard it before today. So I hope you enjoyed it. If not, well, I hope it didn't harm you too much. This stuff is actually good for you. I'll see you next week. Behave yourselves.
30 of the world's outstanding classical pieces for the busy man on the go. Hear Beethoven and Wagner, Stravinsky, Haydn, Elgar, von Suppé, and many, many more designed for you to enjoy the lasting beauty of the world's greatest music, and collected for you on a special 1 minute and 40 second tape. Imagine being able to hear the themes of the world's greatest composers and all pocket size. Now you will have time to mow the lawn or shovel the snow and still be able to listen to von Suppé and Rossini, Mozart, Prokofiev without wasting all that time and without spending hundreds of dollars for those long, boring LPs. For the first time ever, the 30 most wanted classical selections compressed into 100 seconds of playing time. Here, Tchaikovsky and Schubert and Leha, Ponchielli, Cacciatorian, and all in less time than a television commercial break. Now you can astound your friends and neighbors with your vast collection of the world's masterworks and your intimate knowledge of the themes of the world's greatest composers. For your copy on a handy cassette, simply send $9.95 to Radio Station W, New York, and receive beautifully gift-wrapped your very own personal collection of the greatest music the world has ever known. 100 seconds of beauty to last forever. And as an extra added bonus, you will also hear the great Chopin.
Thank you.